welcome to the Shipping Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on a TuneIn Radio app, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Saturday. And here we are in the middle of September officially. It's crazy how much time has flown by, and I want to start the show off on a very important note, and that is, considering the date and in the time in which that we live, I think it's super important that I take this opportunity to remember those that we lost on September 11, 2001. Although the anniversary was yesterday, this is the first opportunity that I've had since the anniversary, that was 24 hours ago, of the horrific terror attacks of 9/11, and I couldn't do the show without at least taking a moment in time to remember those whom that we have lost, and those families and the victims who are still mourning, and as well as recovering from the injuries sustained in those horrible terror attacks. You can call in and leave a voice message at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It doesn't feel like 19 years at all, honestly. If anything, it still feels as if it's been yesterday that these terror attacks took place on our soil here in the United States. And the thing that I think about when I reflect on the anniversary of the horrific terror attacks is that seemingly it does feel as if that time doesn't necessarily stand still, but time has a way of either doing one of two things. Time will always move forward, but to many of those who hearts were broken and who have yet to have been able to find the right words and the strength and courage to overcome that pain that so many of those who have lost loved ones on that tragic day, I just want to say that as a nation, we all grieve with you. We all feel with you. Even though it's been 19 years, those 19 years sure has not felt like as if it's been 19 years. So with that being said, I want to take this time to take a moment of silence. And this one is going to last 60 seconds. And if you're doing anything during the show or even listening to the show on a broadcast today from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., or if you're listening on demand as a podcast on iHeartRadio, as well as it's also available on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, and Anchor, please take 60 seconds to just silently remember the victims of that day and to all of those who have been affected. Those 60 seconds of silence will begin now. Thank you. And for those that just tuned in, I did a 60-second moment of silence to remember the victims of 9/11, as yesterday was the 19-year anniversary. Now, a year ago, I was able to do a four-hour tribute radio program on 91.5 FM WMFO, But because of the current times, and this is yet again a reminder of the times that we live in, due to COVID, I was not able to do a radio program yesterday like I was able to do it a year ago in tribute of the victims of 9/11. So, although I have the hour between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m., I just wanted to take the time to remember all of those who have perished in these hateful attacks. Now, I want to shift gears to something a bit more on a lighter side and as well as more on a positive side. Now, there was a basketball game last night, and Game 7 between the Celtics and the Toronto Raptors, the once were, now the former defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors, the Celtics came out the victor. They won that Game 7, and they won it in a dramatic fashion, if anything, in which that, for many people who believe that this was going to be a seven-game series, man, were they ever right. Were they ever right. And listen, I'll be the first to say, and I mentioned this on Twitter, in which that when they lost Game 6, I really had my doubts. I really had my doubts in terms of whether they will be able to win a Game 7. And win a Game 7 against the defending champions, in which you've seen time and time again that they have found a way to battle through against all impossible odds. And a part of it that was just absolutely amazing was that this win for the Celtics was so huge and it's so important that I think it's imperative now that we really take a look back over the last, let's say, three, four seasons, and realize just how important that win was last night. And it was more than just advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. Allow me to explain. 2017, you all remember that, right? Isaiah Thomas, the former Celtic, almost single-handedly carried the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they went up against LeBron and Kyrie and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember that? I sure do. I sure do. And they came up short. And then that offseason, Danny Ainge, the summer 2017, remember the trade that Danny Ainge made? Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving? Yeah, I do too. 2018, the Celtics get to the Eastern Conference Finals yet again. This time, it was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But this time, this one was even more tougher pill to swallow, and here's why. Remember, this series went to Game 7, and the Celtics were up by 12 points in this game in 2018 Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 at the Garden. They couldn't hold on to that lead. And we all remember what happened during the 2018-19 season, the drama that ensued. We all remember how Kyrie Irving was basically just so, I would say, so unprofessional and disrespectful. I was going to use an adjective that I shouldn't use on the air, but I had to stop myself. In which that Kyrie Irving basically, and I mean, it wasn't just his fault, there was just serious chemistry issues during the 2018-19 season, in which that during the summer of 2019, the fact of the matter is that they needed to make a move. They let Kyrie walk in free agency. In fact, Kyrie said that he had actually made his decision. So, if anything, he left the Celtics. But nevertheless, the Celtics go out and they sign Kemba Walker in hopes that he will be the glue in which that the Celtics have been lacking for the last several seasons. Now, 2019-2020 season is progressing. It's moving along smoothly, and everything just seems fine. See, everything seems to be going well. The team is coming together. You know, Tatum is really elevated his game. You know, Jaylen Brown has taken a step forward in terms of his maturation. Gordon Hayward seemed to be healthy, although he did have a couple of injuries during the season, but when healthy, he was performing at a level in which that the Celtics were hoping for when they signed Gordon Hayward prior to the start of the 2017-2018 season. Unfortunately, that only lasted only about a few minutes. Remember that gruesome injury he had in opening night of 2017. So with that being said, all of those things happen. And then COVID. COVID comes, halts the play of the NBA for 4.5 months. The Celtics return. The return to the bubble that was created by the NBA down in Orlando. And they make the playoffs as expected. They get by Philadelphia in a sweep. And now they face the test against the defending champion Toronto Raptors. Although, no Kawhi Leonard, but you still had a formidable challenge that you had to face against a team that had already been battle-tested. You know, Pascal Siakam, and mind you, this was a guy that averaged about a little more than 23 points per game during the regular season, pre-NBA pause. But for whatever reason, he just did not look the same at all. But nevertheless, you still had a battle against Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, Marcus Hall, Fred VanVleet, and of course, Kyle Lowry as well. So you had a challenge that you had to go against. And many pundits were saying, well, the Celtics should win this. They should win this in seven, Raptors in seven. That either way, it was going to be a bit of a challenge. It was going to be an epic series. And here's the kicker. It seemed like the Celtics were on their way to go into a game four, being up 3-0 in the series with less than 0.5 seconds remaining. OG Anunoby shoots the impossible shot from the impossible pass from Kyle Lowry over Taco Fall and makes it. Series is tied to 2-2 when the Raptors win game four while riding on the emotions of game three. Celtics win game five. Celtics lose a terrific double overtime game in game six. But then also now game seven, here's the fun part. Game seven was just a series of, back and forth defense versus defense, which defense was going to blink first. And the Celtics defense, listen, was absolutely incredible. And when I tell you that Marcus Smart deserves a lot of credit, especially with that block in the final minute, made it all the more just incredible, considering that the Celtics struggled from the three-point line, struggled mightily, and in which that their best three-point shooter wasn't even their best offensive player. It was actually Marcus Smart. And when I tell you that when you talk about how the Celtics were able to hang on for the 92-87 win, it was the defense for the Celtics that won them the game. And then the part about it is this. The Celtics, they struggled so badly offensively that in the final 5 minutes and 22 seconds, they didn't have a single field goal in Game 7. Now, Celtic fans, be honest. How often does that happen in a game seven and your team goes on to win? Be honest. How often does that happen? Not very often, right? Exactly. But again, the fact that the defense for the Celtics was so huge, and you got to give credit to Grant Williams and Robert Williams for stepping up huge in the final minutes of the game defensively. But that final field goal by Jason Tatum, in which he drove past Pascal Siakam, put up the Celtics by 9. And it was enough. It was enough for the Celtics to hold on. But I tell you, it's unbelievable how when we talk about guys like Marcus Smart and just how important he is to the Celtics team, being a heart and soul, you saw it last night. The absolute dog that Marcus Smart had, the amount of dog that the Celtics had defensively as a unit. But I want to focus on Marcus Smart for just a moment, because Marcus Smart, this is the same guy who just a few days ago was just named first team all defense in the NBA for a reason. There was a reason, and last night was the night in which that you finally saw exactly why he's first team defense all NBA. No doubt about it. And we talk about how that block sealed it for the Celtics and how that was a game changer. It was. In every sense of the way, it absolutely was. And we talk about how for a team that lost guys like Al Horford and Aaron Baines, who last season, the Celtics, they were ranked sixth last season defensively in the NBA. This team, you can make a case that this team could very well be better defensively than what they were with Al Horford and Aaron Baines a year ago, which is incredible in its own right. But then also, so much has been made about in terms of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and as well as the offensive growth that both players have made. But their improvement defensively has been absolutely outstanding. And you saw it in this series. And the Celtics needed every bit of that during this seven-game series against Toronto, where they knew every inch was going to be important. Especially when you talk about defensively how good Toronto was. And here's the thing. This is the same Raptors team that went 51-3. I'm serious. The Raptors went 51-3 when they scored at least 105 points per 100 possessions. And that's five fewer than a league average of 110 per 100. But the thing that doomed them was that offensively, they just weren't there. And the only player that was there last night, especially in Game 7, was Fred VanVleet. And I'm telling you, there were points late in the third quarter going into the fourth quarter where I was just thinking to myself, Fred VanVleet, in spite of the offensive struggles of Pascal Siakam, may very well carry this team to the Eastern Conference Finals. VanVleet, that is. That's how good he was. And that's saying something when you consider that for a team like the Celtics, who have gone through so much in terms of growing, learning how to win in the NBA playoffs, the losses that they've went through in the NBA playoffs the last three seasons alone, last night's win in Game 7 was more than just a win. It was an opportunity to show that they've taken that leap mentally and that they can win a close and tight Game 7 and play shutdown defense where they need to play shutdown defense. Now, what makes this year different versus other years for the Celtics in that regard? The growth aspect. And you talk about, I mentioned Tatum and Brown, but you can't forget about guys such as Marcus Smart. And even for a bench that is not deep, but you got key contributions from guys like Brad Watermaker and Semi Ojeleye, as well as Robert Williams, Grant Williams, the rookie out of Tennessee. And it's imperative to remember that when you look at the experience and as well as the inexperience that the Celtics had over the last three seasons, I think it's quite clear now with that you're seeing a team that has gotten so much experience offensively and as well as defensively grown into the roles that they're in now, in which that I really wholeheartedly believe that the Celtics have done themselves a big favor by overcoming that hurdle. And there is one more hurdle to climb over before should they get to the NBA Finals, and that is Miami. Because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That is going to be an absolute dogfight of a series too, if not even more than it was against Toronto. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Because of the Miami Heat, in some ways, they are the mirror image of the Boston Celtics in some ways, if you really think about it. Game one of that series of the Eastern Conference Finals is slated to be on Tuesday night. Time to be determined, but either way, I'll be ready. We'll have a lot of time to talk about it, not just only now, but as well as next week or next week's show as well. That's something to keep in mind and to think about. Coming up next, I have a problem with Skip Bayless. And it is very rare that I ever criticize a national sports media personality, but this one is absolutely warranted. I'm going to tell you exactly why that is. Coming up next on the Sugar Red Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on TuneIn Radio. This is Sugar Red. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusby from Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
Always look forward to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM
and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Too much of heaven can bring you underground. Heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven, a life that's all hellbound. Heaven, the killer makes no sound. Too much of heaven. Bye.
else around them. No love, no friendship, nothing else. Just the dollar bill coming on into their pocket, into their bank account. And that's too much of him bringing them on the ground. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's called money dependence today. And people just keep on going on looking at the dollar bill.
Welcome back to the Shook Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Firm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Thank you for tuning into the show today and making it part of your Saturday afternoon. And believe it or not, soon enough, Saturday night. As sunset is getting earlier and earlier now, and it's only to my absolute glee that it's happening, because I'm already beginning to hear from people saying that, oh no, the sun is going down earlier now. We're losing daylight. Well, I mean, you do realize that we're entering fall, right? So this was bound to happen at some point, but what do I know? But hey, either way, I'm ready for the cooler weather, and that has been the case this weekend so far. Yesterday was incredible. It definitely felt like fall. I mean, today here in Greater Boston, same thing as well. Cool weather. Really been the big story this last few days, and I'm 100% okay with it. It's just a reminder that I definitely got to buy me some new sweatpants and jeans for sure. But with that being said, I want to just go over a couple of housekeeping items in terms of the radio program. As a reminder, if at any point you ever miss the broadcast of the Shook Right Show between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m., don't panic. Don't worry. You can listen to it on demand on iHeartRadio as a podcast. That same podcast is also distributed on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and as well as the Anchor app. And as well as, again, if you happen to miss the radio broadcast, you can find it on iHeartRadio. And as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, now Google Play, as well as Spotify and the Anchor app as well. So there was something that was said and that was talked about that really really bothered me a couple of days ago. And this incident happened just a couple of days ago. So I want to have the opportunity to actually touch on it. Now, I will admit, on this radio program, I've realized that there are times where I hadn't, touched a whole lot of national topics, but I have, you know, try to make a conscientious effort to try to change that, especially now with, I mean, the reality being that the Patriots, the Celtics, they're in play now. The Red Sox, they're still in play right now, but soon to me, they may or may not even make it to October. So soon it will just be the Patriots and the Celtics and so forth. So I'm trying to incorporate more national topics into the radio program. But this one in particular is the one in which that it actually hits home the most. Now, personally, for those that don't know, I am a big fan of Undisputed on Fox Sports 1. Have been since the show launched in 2016. And Shannon Sharp, that's my guy. Skip Bayless, I have known about and been watching for years. And this goes back to when he was at ESPN on Cold Pizza, then later became First Take. And when he left ESPN, he joined Undisputed in the fall of 2016. Now, with that being said, I have had my disagreements with Skip Bayless in my day. I'll be the first to admit that. I have. But in this one, in this particular case, this one isn't just so much as a petty talk or me just being a petty dude, but rather something that a lot of people are dealing with and something that has become very much prevalent in my life, especially in the last 2.5 months. Now, before I even get deeper into this topic, and for a lot of people, this may very well be a very big and important topic that affects you personally, or you may know someone close to you that deals with it. I'm talking about anxiety and depression. There was something in which that Skip Bayless said the other day, in which it did not honestly sit well with me at all. Now, I get that the job of a radio personality, sports television personality, is to have the hot takes and so forth. Blah, blah, blah. I get that. Fine and dandy. Great. I get it. But my goodness, when it comes to an actual human story, can you at least do this one favor and actually show some damn compassion and humanity? Now, I want to read you something that Skip Bayless said. Now, this is the first time that I've had the opportunity to actually address this, but I'm actually going to address this very lengthy in this segment because, as I mentioned, this is something that has hit home for me personally, and it's something that I deal with personally. Anxiety, that is. Now, Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he has gone through a lot this calendar year. COVID, yes. What people also do know is that he lost his brother earlier this year, back in mid-April, Jace. He died, unfortunately, due to suicide. And when I heard all about that, my heart went out. My heart really went out. And that is because, in all honesty, I couldn't even begin to imagine what Dallas Prescott has been feeling and was feeling, or even if he's still going through those emotions right now. So part of it is this. Prescott had an interview on In Depth with Graham Bensinger, and he talked about that how he had been dealing with depression and began experiencing anxiety in the early stages of the coronavirus shutdown. And then, as mentioned just now, in mid-April, Jace had just had died due to suicide, which brought on a new wave of emotions. Now, I want to read you the quote that was exactly said by Skip Bayless on Undisputed. He said, quote, "I have a deep compassion for clinical depression, but when it comes to the quarterback of an NFL team, you," he's referring to Shannon Sharp, "know this better than I do. It's the ultimate leadership position in sports. Am I right about that? You are commanding an entire franchise, and they're all looking to you to be their CEO, to be in charge of the football team. Because of all that, I don't have sympathy for him going public with, 'I got depressed. I suffered depression early in COVID to the point I couldn't even go work out.' Look, he's the quarterback of America's team. The sport that you play, it's dog eat dog. It is no compassion, no quarter given on the football field. If you reveal publicly any little weakness, it can affect your team's ability to believe in you in the toughest spots, and it can definitely encourage others on the other side to come after you." Skip Bayless, what in God's green earth is wrong with you? Like, you may have a moment where you say, you know what, I want to retract my comments again, but the fact of the matter is that you said what you said, and you said how you really felt. Now, let me remind you of something. You work with an African-American in Shannon Sharp. You have spoken about the need for racial equality in this country. Let me give you a little lesson, sir, and to anyone else that's out there listening. And that is, as African-Americans, we're dealing with two things. With two things that we have to worry about. And that is COVID and the worry of being stopped, being arrested, or being killed by law enforcement because of the color of our skin. So for Bayless to come out and say what he said, well, he's the leader of America's team, is listen, it don't matter what profession you're in life. It don't matter what you do in life. You are not susceptible. You are not immune to life issues. And I'm going to have a moment of transparency right here, right now with all of you. I began dealing with anxiety for the first time in mid-June. I know firsthand what that's like. Especially in the aftermath of George Floyd. I know what that feels like. I know what that's like because I still deal with it. But I am grateful that I have the amazing support system that I have in my mom, in my sisters, in my family members, my immediate close friends who have reached out to check in to see how I'm doing. So what Dak Prescott did was not only so brave, but as well it took tremendous strength. Because guess what? Men of color are not known to be expressive with our emotions. And that's a generational curse that we have to break as men. That's a generational curse that we have to now pass on to our children, if we have any children, that it's okay to share how we're feeling. That if we're feeling depressed, if that we're not okay, then guess what? That it's okay to come out and say, you know what? I need help. That I need help. And I'm not sorry for speaking so passionately about this. But when I heard this, I really couldn't believe the unmitigated gall that he had to come out and say that and spare me the nonsense of him being a shock jock of a TV sport of sports television personality. Because guess what? That don't mean a damn thing. That don't mean a damn thing. People react differently to tragedies. People react differently to life situations. None of this has been easy on all of us at all. At all. Whether if you've dealt with people in your family having COVID, like I have personally, I had two members of my family test positive for COVID-19. I've dealt with the stress of the Black Lives Matter movement and the aftermath of George Floyd dealing with anxiety on my part. So I know exactly how that feels. I know and understand that as a man of color, regardless of what profession you're in, that it takes guts and it takes strength to come forward to speak about what you're feeling. And how dare the likes of Skip Bayless to come out on national television to speak and talk about how it makes him look weak. You don't have a damn idea as to how he feels. Quarterback of the Cowboys or not. That is not your job. That is not for you to say, well, I don't feel compassion or sympathy. Well, congratulations. It shows how much of a heartless person that you are. And excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, that if I get a little emotional right now. Because what Dak Prescott said hit home. And I'm someone who has been very open and very transparent in talking about dealing with anxiety. And I talk about it openly because I have no idea that there are so many people out there who don't even talk about what they're feeling. And I know because for the longest of time, I was one of those people that I didn't talk about how I was feeling. I was one of those people in which that I kept everything to myself. I was one of those people in which that, you know what, I'm going to put a smile on my face, pretend everything is okay, that every time I ask what's wrong, that, you know, no, I'm fine. You have any idea how difficult it must be? Not only that you're dealing with COVID and you're locked in your house for an X amount of time, but to deal with the death of your sibling as well? Bless your heart, Skip Bayless. Seriously, bless your heart. Because for you to come out and say that was really like, wow. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about not having compassion. And you want to start off by saying that, oh, I have the deepest sympathy for those who have clinical depression. Oh, really? Because if you did, perhaps you would have thought about what you said. Perhaps what you would have thought about everything that came out of your mouth shortly after, because guess what? What you said was the last bit of the opposite of feeling compassion. It was the epitome of showing how heartless you really can be. I don't give a damn about what kind of stick that you may have, but damn, I'd be damned if anyone else who may think like you do, turn around and tell someone else who may be going through it what you said, you better understand that. I pray that you never have to deal with what that man and millions of others who are dealing with anxiety and depression, regardless of color, but especially an African American, considering the social pressures that we deal with on an everyday basis. And that is real, whether you want to admit it or not. We're going to go to break. And when we return, we're going to continue talking about sports. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Trust me, from radio, streaming nationwide on TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. We'll be right back.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Hey, you moved my stump. I'm going to wreck it.
I can fix it.
Welcome to back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app. Glad you're able to tune in on this Saturday afternoon. And I just want to simply say that, just very quickly, if anyone out there, and this happens to be, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is on National Suicide Awareness Month. And I've been seeing a lot of, you know, posts on social media about, you know, if you need help, if you are feeling depressed or suicidal, I strongly urge you to know that, number one, you are not alone. And this is someone who has been battling anxiety for almost 3 months now. I can honestly say and tell you that you are not alone, and that there is an amazing system out there that is willing to help, and that you are not alone in this. I don't know whose ears this may fall upon, or if anyone out there is receptive to this message. Please do know that you are absolutely loved and cared for, and that you do have a place of value in this world. You mean something to someone out there. That I love you. I love you. And that you are in fact loved. And that if you need help, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. We're not meant to be an island. No man is an island. And I could tell you that from my own experience that I've had to learn that, you know, you're not an island. You're not meant to be, you know, alone. You were not created alone. Like you're fortunate, and I'm blessed to have the support system that I have, and that I really hope that, again, that this makes someone's day, that you are loved, and that you are cared for, and that you do belong here. You deserve to be alive. You deserve to have an absolute beautiful chance of life. And that's what it's about. You know, just having a chance to prove to yourself, and not just prove to yourself, but most importantly, be happy. Like, just be happy and just, you know, spread a positive cheer, you know, like make someone's day. Like, just say, hey, you know, I was thinking about you, you know, and as well as, you know, let someone know that, you know, that you love them, because if anything 2020 has taught us, and that is that life is absolutely so short, that there are no guarantees for tomorrow at all, and that we are all living on borrowed time. And I know this is a sports talk show, but I needed to get this message out there. And I want you to know, again, you never know who may be listening. You never know who may need to hear this, but you are absolutely loved and cared for, and that you are not alone. And the final thoughts of the Shukri Wright Show begins now, and it's brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Wright, to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Now, tomorrow is going to be an absolutely big day across the National Football League. And I want to explain why, and I want to explain it from both a local perspective and as well as a national perspective. Now, I want to start with the local perspective because, number one, the New England Patriots, they kick off the 2020 NFL season tomorrow. And that is something that I am fired up for. And here's the reason why this is so important. Because tomorrow officially begins the post-Tom Brady era here in New England. And there has been so much talk, so much discussion, so much speculation as to, there are questions as to where this team is going to be heading. Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback. And I think more than anything else, that we really get a glimpse as to what Cam Newton is going to look like in this Patriots offense. Now, there has been so much talk about, hey, You know, he looks great. You know, he's saying all the right things. But now we get to see him on the field live in this first meaningful game that he's played in, what, 367 days? So, yeah, it's a big day tomorrow for the Patriots. And as well as now, let's shift in gears to the national aspect. Now, I get that Tom Brady is not in New England, and I've been one who said he's not with the Patriots anymore. Why are we talking about Tom Brady? But here's the thing. On this very moment, in this very particular aspect, be honest. The number one game that's going to be watched tomorrow actually may not even be the Patriots game. It's actually going to be the Buccaneers and Saints. Especially on the heels of the news I broke today about Alvin Kamara signing that extension today. 5 years, $75 million. So congratulations to Alvin Kamara. But Tom Brady is playing his first ever game as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer after 20 seasons here in New England. So you know millions are going to watch. How does he look down in Tampa Bay? How is he going to look reuniting with Robert Gronkowski down in Tampa Bay, especially with the weapons that he has? Now, Mike Evans is questionable for tomorrow's game, but I do think it's going to be fascinating. But he does have another weapon to work with, and that's with the signing of Leonard Fournette, who was let go by Jacksonville and went on to sign in Tampa Bay to play with the Buccaneers. So that in itself is going to be fascinating to watch in terms of nationally. Brady, the big story of discussion is going to be, how does Brady look? You know, is Brady still as good as he was, you know, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, even going back to his MVP season in 2017, you know, and as well as Drew Brees. Is this his final season? You know, Drew Brees has meant a lot to New Orleans. He has done a lot for this organization and so forth. And now you got Alvin Kamara locked up in a long-term deal and so forth. So right now it's all systems go for the New Orleans Saints. And there are a couple of other games that I'm actually looking forward to watching as well. I'm interested in seeing the Steelers and Giants on Monday Night Football. Ben Roethlisberger coming back healthy. How is he going to look? Coming off a catastrophic injury in an injury-shortened season in 2019. That'll be all for the Sugar Red Show today. Thanks for listening in. You can catch this show on demand or as a podcast on iHeartRadio, as well as the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and the Anchor app. This is Sugar Red. You've been listening to the Sugar Red Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Take care, everybody. Stay safe and healthy. Peace.